All right. Well, welcome, everyone. Good to see you this morning on a very special day. Good to see some of you twice, a little early at 8:15. Not many at all. Shouldn't have even mentioned that, should I? But we try our best to communicate, but we're glad you're here now and look forward to what we're going to do together today as we have our baptism service. Just a wonderful time of celebration as we come to witness and be part of these 11 folks who will take that step of obedience, of following the Lord through the waters of baptism today. So just so you know a little bit about baptism at our church, I'm going to talk about it here in a bit, but the procedure is that we advertise that we're going to do a baptismal service and then ask folks who are interested to come and see me. And after that, we have a one-session class on baptism that talks about what it is in the Scriptures. And I hear each person's testimony because we practice believer's baptism here at Grace Bible Chapel. And so hear their testimony of faith, how they came to know Jesus, how they know for sure that when they die, they're going to heaven. It's as simple as that, and their desire to go forward. And so we are here on a very special Sunday, and it is for a very special, specific and exciting reason, and we're going to baptize these 11 people who are looking to obey the Lord and to take another step forward in their walks with Him. Many of you know this already, but I remember the day of my baptism very clearly, and the reason I remember it so clearly was because the baptismal tank had a malfunction, and they filled it up the night before and flipped the switch that said heater. And there was really no such thing, I don't think. It was there, but it didn't work. And so when we came in the next morning, it was cold water right out of the tap, and the pastor gave us the option. It was just me and one other person, gave us the option to delay it, but we went forward. And so it was very memorable as an 18 or 19-year-old. That's not the case today. The case today is that the water is 90 degrees. We've been heating it since yesterday morning, and this thing's giving fits, isn't it? That's all I can do. That's all I got. So I don't know what your experience has been in baptism, but I hope that if you've been baptized, it's something that you can look back on with good memories. People say, well, what's a good age for a child to get baptized? And we say, well, you want it to be something that they can look back on with good memories. And I know for me, there's not a whole lot I remember when I'm 6 or 7. But when I look back to third grade, around when I was 8, I can start to remember things. And something like baptism should be a very memorable thing. So there's no hard and fast rule that we have, but we usually recommend that people be about 8 years old so that they can look back at their baptism and remember it with good memories. You know, kids that are younger than 8 find it hard to remember back that far when they're older, you know. And so we want it to be memorable for all who are baptized. So whether you were baptized outside, because that's what we used to do around here before we bought this handy-dandy baptismal pool here, but we used to do it in people's swimming pools sometimes. Going way back before my time, it was in a pond. Some people have been baptized in a river. Some have been baptized in the Jordan River when they were over there in Israel. But whatever the case for you, I hope you can look back on your baptism with good memories. And I hope that baptism for you has been what we hope it will be for these folks going forward today. Sort of a mile marker along the way in your walk with the Lord that lets you know you're heading in the right direction. It's that step of obedience that you'll be able to look back on with good memories. Almost like markings on a trail. You can look back and see where you've been and look back and look forward to see where you're going. But I know that there are probably those here today who have never been baptized, and so I just want to take a few minutes to explain what we'll be doing here today. What we really need to understand is that baptism is a step of obedience for those who have already put their faith and trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of their sin. And here's how I like to summarize it. I like to say it's an outward sign of an inward grace. Something that's already happened in your life and in your heart and in your mind, that's taken place, it's taken care of, but this is an outward expression of something very personal that has taken place inside of your heart. So I want to say this as plainly as I can this morning, but baptism does nothing to save us. Baptism does nothing to save us. It does nothing to improve my standing before God. That's not what it was designed to do. Paul told us very clearly that we're saved how? We're saved by grace through faith in Jesus and not by our own good works. The scripture makes it very clear in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And so if baptism doesn't save us, then what does save us? What is the gospel message that Paul and others talked about in the scriptures? Well, I just want to go very briefly over that week this morning. What is the gospel? The gospel starts with an admission, and it starts with an admission that I'm a sinner. I would imagine that seated here this morning, there would be very few people who would have a problem with admitting that we are a sinner. There are probably very few among us who would say, you know what? I've never done anything wrong. I've been perfect from the day I was born. Never had an impure thought. Never took anything when my mom or dad wasn't looking. Just never been a sinner. None of us probably would dare to say that. That would require a fairly high view of ourselves, wouldn't it? Romans 3:23 tells us the truth. The scripture tells us the truth that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's the type of thing that allows for no exceptions. Well, only the really good people are an exception to that, or people from a certain country, or people from a certain race. No, it's not like that. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so we would have to admit that we're all sinners. But secondly, that sin has consequences. That sin has consequences. Paul told us in that first part of Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death. But he goes on in the second part of 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. If we sin, the wages that we receive from that sin is death. It's a very humbling thought. Paul tells us that doesn't have to end that way for us, though. That because our sin separates us from God, that's what death is. It's a matter of spiritual separation from God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, the scripture tells us, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the beautiful thing. Jesus died on the cross with one purpose in mind. When he died on the cross, he was the perfect sacrifice for sin. Sin of people just like you and me. The perfect sacrifice. He took my place on that cross, took the punishment that I deserve. He died in my place so that I don't have to. And you know what? I didn't do anything to deserve such a selfless act from the Lord. He did that all on his own. He didn't say, well, those people really deserve it. You know, look how good they are. That wasn't it at all. He knew the state that we were in. He knew that we were sinners, that we were separated from God. And yet he came and gave his life as that perfect sacrifice for sin on the cross. God loved the people of the world, people just like you and me. He loved them so much that he sent his son Jesus to die for sinners like you and me. And yeah, well, you might say, that's great, but how do we make that sacrifice ours? He did that, but what does that mean for me? And that's a great question that I think all of us have to ask ourselves at one time or another. And the answer to that question is both simple, but it's also profound at the same time. We make that sacrifice personal, that sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross. We make it ours by simply believing. By simply believing that Jesus did it for us. Because we're all sinners, sin has consequences, but thirdly, faith is the requirement for salvation, for personal salvation. We turn from our sins. The Bible calls that repentance. And we turn towards God and we trust what the Lord Jesus has done and that he did it on the cross as the payment for my sin. The most famous verse in all the Bible says it very clearly, that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Why? Why would he do that? That whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world to save sinners just like you and me. And he doesn't require that we jump through a whole bunch of hoops or that we clean ourselves up and make ourselves presentable to God in any way. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Whoever believes in Jesus has everlasting life, which is just another way of saying that we have life a life of fellowship with God and not that separation or that spiritual death from God. And that's what each of these people who are about to be baptized this morning have already done. They have all, at some point in their lives, and you're going to hear their stories this morning, some of them a very long time ago, some of them only recently, but they've all repented of their sins. They've turned from their sin. They've turned towards Christ. They've said yes and believed in the sacrifice that he made for them on the cross there. They have made that profession of faith in their hearts. You're going to hear about their journey of faith by a video just a little bit later on as they enter the tank and get ready to be baptized. So if baptism doesn't save us, if that's not why we're here this morning, to celebrate the salvation of these people, that that's what's going to happen, then what does it do? Well, as I said earlier, I like to summarize it this way, that baptism is an outward sign of an inward grace. Baptism is a public proclamation. These people are saying today, in the presence of all you who are listening, Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my Savior. And it's my intention to follow him all the days of my life. Baptism is like a sign of association. Being baptized is like saying to the people of the world, I belong to Jesus, and I want everybody to know who I belong to. Being baptized is like saying to the world, saying it publicly, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and I'm not ashamed of it one bit. In fact, I'm proud of it in a good sense, and that's why I want to get baptized today. That's what these folks are saying. Baptism doesn't do anything to save us, but it is a public proclamation of the fact that we have been saved, that we now belong to Jesus, and we believe in what he did on the cross to pay the price for our sins. A profound work has been done in the hearts of each of these people that will go through the waters of baptism today. And this is an outward sign of what's happened already in their heart, and we're going to celebrate that this morning. Secondly, baptism is an act of obedience. Jesus commanded baptism. I think you probably already know that. He commanded his disciples not only to make other disciples, but he commanded them to baptize those disciples as they made them as well. He said to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He commanded it then. He commands it now. We follow that command. Peter commanded baptism to those who were newly saved in the book of Acts in Acts chapter 2. Peter commanded baptism again to these new converts in Acts chapter 10. He baptized them right then and there. Baptism is a command. And if we are believers in Christ today, just like any other command of the Scriptures, we're expected to follow that command. So these people are doing that today in obedience to what Jesus has done to them. And so if you're saved and you've never been baptized, you might want to think about that. It's a command of Christ. It's an act of obedience. But thirdly, baptism is symbolic. Baptism is symbolic. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4 says this, "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." When the person is immersed in the water this morning, it paints a beautiful picture of being buried with him in baptism. We go beneath the surface. We're buried with him as a signal that we've died to our sins. We're forsaking it. We've left it behind. But as we come up out of the water, we rise again with newness of life, symbolically having been washed by the Holy Spirit, cleaned, washed of all our sin. It's a beautiful picture. It's very, very symbolic. It's a beautiful picture of what Jesus has already done for us, and it's a symbolic thing. But fourthly, baptism, quite honestly, let's be honest with each other, it's humbling, isn't it? In just a few minutes, people are going to start parading up here. They're going to get in this water. And they're going to voluntarily allow us to dunk them under the water. And all of you are going to be watching. And when they come up out of that water, water's going to be everywhere. Their hair's going to be plastered to their head. Their clothes will be completely soaked. Water will be coming out of places that it doesn't usually come out of in their head. They'll probably be a little disoriented. And quite honestly, they may look worse than you've ever seen them. But it's humbling. It's saying, I'm not in charge of my life. I want to follow the Lord Jesus. Why would people subject themselves to such humiliation? Because they've decided to follow Jesus through the waters of baptism. They're not ashamed of it, regardless of the fact that it's humiliating, regardless of what it costs them, regardless of what's asked of them. They've decided to follow Jesus in obedience to his command to be baptized. So I'm not sure where you stand today in your relationship with Jesus Christ. If you've never surrendered your life to Christ, I would try to encourage you the best way that I can to do that. To repent of your sins today, say yes to Jesus Christ by putting your faith and trust in what he's already done on the cross so many years ago to pay for the price of the sins for people just like you and me. Your sins of the past are forgiven. Your sins of the present are forgiven. Your sins, even those moving forward into the future, are forgiven because of what Jesus did on the cross if you'll put your faith and trust in him. And I want to encourage you, verse right from Scripture, not to let another day go by without trusting Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2 says, "For he says, in the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation." And so if you're here this morning, you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus, I want to encourage you to strongly consider that today. If you've never said yes to what Jesus has done for you on the cross, give serious consideration to that today. Talk to someone. It doesn't matter who it is. Talk to the person that you came with. Talk to one of the people that will be up front here after the service. But don't leave this morning without doing business with God. He loves you so much that he gave his one and only son, not one of many sons like he had many to spare, his one and only son. That's how much he loves you. And so if you're a believer here this morning, I want to encourage you to celebrate with each of these folks this morning. I'm not a rule guy generally, but I'm going to make a rule today. No golf claps. No smattering of applause, right? Let's get excited. Pastor Rob talked about how excited he can get when a free t-shirt is being given away, right? These people are making a, they are taking that next step in their walk with Jesus. If we can't get excited about that, right? So, no polite applause today. Let's get a little rowdy. Let's let these folks that we know that we're standing behind them, that we're supporting them. I know we don't do that kind of thing around here, right? But maybe we can start. Maybe we can show, yeah, there we go. Somebody's clapping already, right? So the other thing that I would encourage you to do is, you know, folks will be, I hope everybody will can kind of stay up here. They'll be soaking wet, but that's okay. But come up, give them a big old hug. Don't worry about getting wet. You know, it's all good. Just let them know that you're standing with them, that you're standing behind them. Because this is really what we want to say to these folks today, that in a good sense, we are really proud of you. And we want to ask you and encourage you and do all that we can to stand behind you and help you to walk with Jesus. I just hope that we can get excited today. The disciples back in the day of Jesus were described as those who turned the world upside down. Think about that. Those who turned the world upside down. Could that apply to us? Or are we those who sort of blend in with the world? Those who turned the world upside down. Imagine the impact that we could have. And I know this is already happening to a certain degree, but imagine the impact that we can have as we, the disciples of Jesus today in our day and age, unashamedly go and leave the fingerprints of God wherever we go, being salt and light in the lives of the people that we come in contact with every day. Let's get behind these folks that are taking that next step. And whether we have an impact in our families or our schools or our workplaces, our community, our world, let's leave the fingerprints of God wherever we go on those that we come in contact with every day. So let's celebrate with these that are now about to say that I have decided to follow Jesus through the waters of baptism. I want to tell you just a little bit about what we're going to do in a minute or two. And as I said, we practice believers' baptism by immersion here. The meaning of the Greek word baptizo is to immerse. And so we think that that's a good way to do it. We dunk one time, not three. Some groups do it three times. We dunk just one time, and we baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, because that's what Jesus told us to do in Matthew chapter 28 and verses 19 and 20. We believe, as I said before, that it is a picture of being buried with Christ in his death for our sins, and it's a picture of being raised again in the newness of life as we come up out of that water, even as he rose again on the third day. And so we believe that baptism is for believers. And so each of these people that are getting baptized today has a story to tell of their own personal journey of faith that they have taken to bring them to this point in the road that they're walking with Christ. And you're going to have the privilege and the opportunity to hear each one of their stories by video. And we asked them to do that. They did a marvelous job. And I really appreciate Dave Krause taking the time to put those on video. And I think you're going to be very encouraged. You're going to hear a theme that runs throughout, and especially with the younger kids, of how important family is. How important having a godly mom and dad is. How important it is to have that grandpa that walked with Jesus and that these kids watched walk with Jesus. And as we've talked throughout this past year, Grace Bible Chapel, we want to be a church that ministers to families. I have met with each of these candidates, and I have full assurance of their faith and trust in Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. Today, we gather to witness them make this very important step in their life with Jesus. And we're going to rejoice and celebrate with them. But remember just how important your part is in this. Even if these aren't your kids, you still are that example. You're still part of this body of Christ that's going to give them examples of how to move forward in their walks with Jesus. And so you may see different people helping with the baptisms this morning. The Bible doesn't say who should do the baptisms, but as our church, the elders have oversight of all of the services of our church, and as we say about communion all the time, the elders have oversight of who does the baptizing, and so I've asked each of these folks, do they have a special person in their life that they would like to have help with the baptism, and some of them have. And so you're going to see some friends, you're going to see some grandfathers, you're going to see some pastors, some uncles, and things like that. So just wanted to let you know that. And so we have a predetermined order, and they know what that order is, and we're going to start here in just a second. We do have the video that's set up so that hopefully you in the back can also see what's happening in the tank up here on the screens, and we're going to alternate between live video with what's happening in here and also the testimonies of those that put their testimony on video. I'm confusing myself even, so I'm going to stop, and we're just going to get started, okay? All right.
Hi, my name's Lily Zanes. I've been attending Grace Bible Chapel for almost 10 years. I was saved when I was little. I wanted to know how I could go to heaven because my parents were going. And so I thought how I could get there. So then I learned that I could go if I was saved and brought Jesus to my life. So I did that right then. And I want to get baptized now because God tells me to do it, and I think it's a good time to do it. My mom and dad were the people who brought me to Christ, and my grandfather's been a very Christly model to me.
So this is Ellie right here. And this is her grandfather, Reverend Richard Brennan. Pastor Brennan has been a pastor for a lot of years.
51.
51 years. And, yeah. And so when asked if there were any special people that she would like to have help with her baptism, the choice was obvious. I have my back to you. I'm sorry about that. So Pastor Brennan's going to lead us through Ellie's baptism, and also Brennan Zanes, who's going to come next as well. So go ahead.
Okay. Ellie, we've heard your testimony concerning your saving faith in the Lord Jesus. And in the waters of baptism now, do you want to publicly proclaim that you're turning your back on Satan and the kingdom of darkness? And are you publicly in the waters of baptism identifying yourself with the Lord Jesus and with his people, the church?
Yes.
We baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.
Hi, my name is Brennan Zanes. I've been attending Grace Bible Chapel for around 10 years. I came to know Christ through, I was just reading the Bible one night, and I decided that I wanted to get saved, and so I prayed to him about it, and I accepted him into my heart, and you know, now I'm saved. I wanted to get baptized because I wanted to publicly show to everyone that I believe in Christ and that I follow him. A couple of people that are, like, you know, big impacts in my life would probably be my parents and my grandfather.
Brennan, we've heard your testimony concerning your saving faith. And I'd like to also ask you, do you publicly in the waters of baptism declare that you've turned your back on Satan and the kingdom of darkness, and you're publicly identifying yourself with the Lord Jesus and with his people in the church?
Yes.
And we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Good job, man. Good question. Appreciate it.
I'm Maddie Wilkinson. I'm 8 years old. And why I want to get baptized is to show everybody that I accepted Jesus into my heart. How I got saved is one day I just wanted to get saved, and I went upstairs with Mommy and asked Jesus into my heart, and then I was saved. And I was born and raised in GBC.
Oh, it's not that cold now. Come on. I knew I always, you know, get a little misty during these things, but I had a feeling it would be at this time because if you were here last year, you know that we baptized this fellow right over here, Derek Green. And I don't know how many of you have actually had an opportunity to talk to Derek and get to know him a little bit. He's hard to nail down, you know, but if you do have that opportunity, just ask him his story sometime, and I think that you will walk away really understanding what the grace of God is. And so, Derek, I just think it's an awesome opportunity for you to share in Maddie's baptism today and keep walking with the Lord yourself. So, Maddie, do you believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay the price for your sins? And are you putting your faith and trust in him alone for your salvation? Okay, well then, based on your testimony of faith in Christ, I'm going to baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Good job, buddy. Love you, brother.
Hi, my name is Ethan Tink, and I've been attending Grace Bible Chapel for about 6 months now. How I got saved was I've been going to a Christian private school about all my life, and I went to Sunday school and church and all that good stuff. And one night I was, like, in my bed thinking about, am I really saved or not? And the next morning I went to my mom, talking to her about all my concerns and all that good stuff, and she settled me down and asked me if I believe in God. I was like, yeah. And if I want to be saved. And I was like, yeah. And if you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross to save you for your sins, I was like, yeah. And why I want to be baptized is because I want to be follow Jesus' command and be like Jesus, and because he commands you to be baptized.
So when I was youth pastor here at the church, I was a youth pastor, for those of you who don't know, for the first 16 years that I was here. And one of my goals always was to have folks that I discipled on a little bit of a deeper level. And, you know, kids would come to different youth activities and things like that. And some came just to the fun activities, and some came also to the Bible studies and things like that. But my goal always was to have someone that I was pouring my life into. And Peter Krentz was that guy. And I can remember, I don't remember what day it was that we got together, but we worked through these Dawson McAllister workbooks for years. And I think we did just about all of them. And I would go over to his house, or his mom would bring him to the church. And, you know, to see one spiritual generation recreating itself in another generation of people that are continuing to walk with the Lord, when Paul said in 1 Thessalonians, now we really live, that really means a lot. And so Ethan is Peter's son, and what a joy today it is to baptize him. So Pastor Steve's going to lead us. And
well, Ethan, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord?
Yes.
Is it your intent to walk with him in his path?
Yes, sir.
Well, in that case, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well done.
Hi, my name is Courtney Krentz. I started attending Grace Bible Chapel about 6 months ago, and I followed Jesus Christ all my life. My grandfather was a minister, and I was brought up in the church. In my teenage years, I was going to youth group and church camp, and one day at church camp, the pastor asked if anybody wanted to be saved. So a group of us girls went up there and did our testimony, and it was the proudest day of my life. I wanted to be baptized today because my son's being baptized. And we want to walk together in Jesus Christ because he died on our sin, died for our sin.
What a great testimony to be able to say that as a family, we want to walk forward, walk with the Lord, knowing that he died for our sins. And to take this step of faith together, I think is just a wonderful thing. So congratulations, Lord bless you. Pastor Steve?
Okay. Courtney, do you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior and that he died to pay for your sins?
Yes, I do.
And is your intention to walk with him in newness of life?
Yes.
Well, in that case, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hi, my name is John Walker, and I've attended Grace Bible Chapel for about 5 years now. I was saved because from one night, me and my parents and my brother were sitting down at the dinner table. My parents were discussing how they were saved, and me and my brother thought it was a good idea to get saved as well. So the reason I want to get baptized is because the Bible says it's the next step from being saved. And my parents, my grandparents, and my Sunday school teachers helped me walk through that path of Jesus.
So back before we even had the service planned, Melissa came with the two boys and said, when's the next baptismal service? These guys are ready. And so they were sort of jumping the gun already, and they were the first two that signed up because they're ready to take that step of faith. There you hear it, you know, and it's Deuteronomy chapter 6 in action. While they were sitting at the dinner table talking about what it means to be a believer, and the boys thinking the same thoughts, and mom and dad having the privilege of leading them to Christ. What a blessing that is. So, congratulations. John, do you believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay the price for your sins? And have you put your faith and trust in him alone to pay the price for those sins? And is it your desire to follow him all the days of your life? And we're going to baptize you, our brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Good job.
Hi, my name is Jake Bulger, and I've been attending Grace Bible Chapel for around 5 years. I got saved because I've been going to church since I was really young, and so one night me and my parents were talking, and we decided that it was a good time to get saved, and now I want to get baptized because it says it's the next step in the Bible, And the people who helped me on that path are like the teachers from Grace Bible Chapel, my parents, my grandparents.
All right, Jacob. So proud of you. Glad that you're following Jesus and walking with him. You can hold your nose if you want. That's okay. So, have you put your faith and trust in Jesus and his death on the cross to pay for the price for your sins?
Yes.
Do you believe that he rose again on the third day, showing that he had power and authority over sin and death?
Yes.
Is it your desire to follow him all the days of your life?
Yes.
And we baptize you, our brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
I am Caitlin Bell. I am 16 years old, and I have been at Grace since I was born. I got saved at a very young age. I was about 4 or 5 years old, and it was in my kitchen right in front of the front door. And I come from a family that is very involved in the church. My uncle's a youth pastor here at Grace, and everyone is saved, and we're a very devoted family to the church. So it was almost kind of like my family kept asking me if I was saved yet, and I said, well, I haven't really asked. And so one day, my mom and I sat down, and I said, you know, Mom, I want to be saved. And she said, okay. So we prayed a prayer, and I asked Jesus to be my Savior, and that was basically it. It was nothing grand, but it was a very big moment in my life. So I guess I just want to be baptized because it's a profession of my faith. I was very young when I was saved. So this is almost a way to show that I am saved and I believe that Jesus is my Savior and that he died on the cross for me.
So, you know, sometimes kids from Christian homes, they think my testimony is boring, it doesn't mean anything, and kind of had the idea that that's what Caitlin was saying, you know, that's no big deal, it's not a big thing. But when we met, I reminded her, you know, that the Lord kept you from all that stuff that so many other people have to go through. And that is a real expression of his grace that, you know, sometimes it takes other folks hitting rock bottom before they look up and see the Lord. And, you know, you're blessed because you had people who loved you and cared for you, gave you great examples of what it means to walk with Christ. And, you know, praise the Lord that he's spared you from all the garbage that so many of us have had to go through in our lives. So your testimony is a great one, and you should tell people that testimony boldly and not be ashamed of that testimony in any way, shape, or form. So, Caitlin, do you believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay the price for your sins?
Yes.
Do you believe that he rose again on the third day, showing that he had power over sin and death in the grave?
Yes.
Is it your desire to put your faith and trust in him and him alone?
Yes.
And to walk with him all the days of your life.
Yep.
And we baptize you, our sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried in baptism, rise again in newness of life.
Hi, my name is Lily Christine. I've been attending Grace Bible Chapel since I was 1.5 years old,
okay.
And I couldn't have become Christian without some of the special people in my life, like Miss Sandy and my parents, and mostly my Sunday school teachers, and they really helped me to learn that being baptized isn't just being dunked in the water. It's making a public statement that I believe in Jesus and that he's my Savior. And that he will help me one day to go to heaven by dying on the cross and paying for my sins.
Well done. So every week when the kids line up for kids' church, we say the same thing almost every week, that we recognize that the primary responsibility for the spiritual well-being of children comes from their parents. But we're also blessed to have a part in that. And, you know, I love the fact that Lily was influenced so greatly by not just her parents, because that's the biggest influence, but also by her Sunday school teachers, and specifically Miss Sandy. What a great testimony to be able to say that trusted adults who love you and want to give their life to serve Jesus had a part in helping you to know and to help to follow Jesus as well. So, you okay after that fall?
Yeah.
Nobody saw that. Don't worry about that, okay? Nobody. They were busy watching something else. All right. Well, Lily, do you believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay the price for your sins?
Yeah.
Do you believe that he rose again on the third day and showed that he had the power over sin and death in the grave?
Yes.
And is it your desire to walk with him all the days of your life and to obey him?
Yes.
And we baptize you today in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Good job.
Hi, my name is Aaron Diamond. I've been attending GBC for about 2.5 years. How I came to know Christ is sort of a strange little story. It's not as defined as a friend of mine who would tell me, you know, over and over again how he immediately found Christ from, you know, being broken and destroyed, and he just, in the rain, in the middle of nowhere, you know, got on his knees and looked up and asked God to be a part of his life. And I was a fifth grader that we went to a VBS, and they asked, you know, do you want to go to heaven? And I was like, absolutely, what a great idea. So I decided to follow this guy, you know, this pastor, into a room where he would be able to pray for me. And he did. And I was, being my fifth grade self, wanted to make sure I knew what I was getting into. So I was like, whoa, wait, interrupted the guy's prayer. Actually interrupted him while he prayed for me. And then asked, you know, were we good? Like, nothing else, right? I'm not missing anything. And he's like, yeah, you're good. And he kind of continued his prayer. So I became a middle schooler who started to dawn on me, you know, over time that it was much more than what I had originally expected. And through my competitive spirit and my relentlessness, whether it be my grades or musicianship, I began to abuse, you know, myself in the name of perfection. I began to do what a lot of us do. And we think that it's never enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not kind enough. I don't love enough. This wasn't genuine enough. And I began to, you know, take this beautiful idea and mourn it and make it a burden to myself. And over time, through prayer and through great counsel and great friends and a fantastic wife and a wonderful family and all the wonderful opportunities and blessings that I've been given, I was able to really start coming to terms and getting rid of the anxiety that I had built up over the last 15 years, which I have plenty of, that it's worth it. It's worth it to not care so much what the world has for you. I mean, how often do we pick up Jesus on Sunday and put him down on Monday? And then Sunday comes back around again. Oh, I love Jesus. And then you put him back down because you go back to work or back to school. And this baptism for me signifies the end of that. I am done. I don't care what the world wants for me. I don't care about its narrative. It's stupid to think that that would compete with what we've been offered through grace. So I'm here as somebody who's tired and weary of the garbage the world wants to sell me and how I sort of hold on to it and how it's a struggle for me. So I would very much like to say that this is a step in obedience. This is a step in the next direction so I can be a part of missions, so I can help others, so I can begin to fulfill what Christ has set out in me.
It's hard to get these introverts to talk sometimes, you know. Just, no, we didn't tell you to. You know, relationships are special, and as you know, I was going to say Lauren. Aaron is married to Lauren, who is our children's ministry director. I had Lauren in youth group years ago when I was youth pastor, and I actually had the privilege of doing the Diamond Wedding. Aaron and Lauren, when they got married, did their premarital counseling, and just a real joy to see how the Lord is working in their hearts and lives. And it was a double joy to hear Aaron's testimony in my office and all the really wonderful things that God is doing in his life. And we're so glad that the Lord led you back here and that you're serving the Lord back there at the sound desk and in other ways as well. And thanks so much for sharing your heart with us this morning as well. Pastor Steve, you want to lead us?
Sure. Aaron, do you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, that he died to pay for your sins and rose again on the third day?
Yes.
And is it your intention to walk with him in newness of life?
Yes.
Well, in that case, we baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
My name is Lloyd Adams. I've been attending the Grace Bible Chapel for about 11 years now. I was originally baptized when I was about 16 or 17. We went to church and our pastor said they were going to have baptisms. When we left, my mom asked me if I was going to be baptized, and I said no. And she said, yes, you are. At that time, I didn't think I really knew the Lord. I went to Catholic school and attended a Baptist church when we did go to church. So I had formed my own opinions about God, which weren't right. I remember coming to know the Lord once I started attending Grace Bible Chapel, going to Sunday school, participating in life groups. One of our life group teams, the men, went out for lunch. And Josue asked me if I was going to go to heaven when I died. And I said, I don't know. So he said, do you think Jesus died for your sins? And I said, yes. He said, do you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? And I said, yes. He said, then well, you are. So that got me more interested in getting to know the Lord. And in this past year, I had the opportunity to go on my first men's retreat as well as my first missions trip, which was a spiritual journey for me. And me and my wife had issues this past year, and we've been working out with the help of the Lord, and that's also made me become closer to God. With all this going on, it made me want to be baptized again, because I feel now that I know the Lord a lot better than I did back then.
So forced baptism, that's one way to do it, I guess. You want to get baptized? No, yes, you do. So you did. Obey your mother and father, right? Lloyd is a special friend because this past year he and I, every Monday morning, 9 o'clock, he would come in, just spend time in my office, iron sharpening iron, so to speak, as we would just sit down and no really particular agenda, just talking about life. And the things that he had going on, that I had going on, and spending time just trying to help each other walk the path of discipleship. And now he went and got a job that changed his hours, and so we can't do that anymore. But I look back on those days with fond memories, Lloyd. I'm really proud of you, the man that you're becoming. Now, I won't say that you've become, because you're not all the way there yet, right? None of us are. But I really appreciate your heart for the Lord and your willingness to press on and to persevere when, you know, quite frankly, would be easy not to. So keep pressing on with the Lord. Walk with him and don't let anything stop you from doing that. Let Jesus live his life through you. I love you. Lord, do you believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay the price for your sins?
Yes, I do.
Do you believe that he rose again on the third day, showing that he had power over sin and death in the grave?
Yes, I do.
Have you put your faith and trust in him and him alone for your salvation? And is it your desire to walk with him for the rest of your life?
Yes, sir.
Based on that testimony of faith, Lloyd, we baptize you, our brother, in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Love you, brother. So, Jesse and the worship team, maybe, are going to come back and lead us in one more song. And then I'm going to come out and just have a closing prayer. and some final thoughts, and then we'll be dismissed. But let's worship the Lord together, recognizing that without Jesus and the sacrifice that he made on the cross so many years ago, none of this would even be happening. It's all because of the fact that Jesus died, rose again, showing that he had that power over sin and death in the grave. We put our faith and trust in him. We have that confidence of heaven. So let's stand and worship the Lord together. Yeah, you can wear them.
So what a great time together. We're going to finish by singing In Christ Alone as we sing the gospel together. So won't you sing this with us?
Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease.
tried to give me my shoes, and I didn't take them anyway, but that's okay. Yeah, I don't know, you know, as we sang that last song, just the idea that no power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand, that it's all in the power of Christ that we stand. We have no righteousness of our own. We've been given a righteousness, not of our own, but the righteousness of Christ has been imputed to us, meaning it's been credited to our account. Jesus' righteousness is ours because we've put our faith and trust in him. And I want to encourage you to remember that as we go from day to day, it's so easy to think that it's up to me, that I have to pull myself up by my bootstraps and be a better person and let Jesus live through you. Yeah, there's toil and there's labor and there's striving, as we've talked about before. But holding things with an open hand and saying, Lord, it's yours. You do with it as you see fit. So let's stand with these folks that have gone today into the waters of baptism. Let's encourage them. Let's walk with them and help them on that journey that they walk with Jesus. Let's pray together, shall we? Lord, I thank you so much for these 11 that have come forward today. Thank you for what you're doing in their lives. We pray, Lord, as they continue down that path of discipleship, that they would have their eyes fixed on you, Lord, that they wouldn't let any distractions come their way, but rather that as they have declared today, Lord, that it is their desire to walk with you all the days of their lives. So enable them to do that, Lord. We pray that when things get difficult, that you would help them not to trust in their own strength, but in the power of Christ is where we stand. Thank you, Lord, for giving us your righteousness. So we commit each of these 11 to you today. We pray that you'd continue to lead and guide them each step of the way. Thank you for their parents, for the godly influence that they've had in their lives, for their grandparents, for spouses, for family, Lord. We just praise you so much for what you've done and what you're going to continue to do in these lives. Thank you for bringing us together as your body, the church, today. It's been so good to be in your house, Lord. We just pray that you'd send us forth with your blessing, your protection, and your care over our lives. We ask it all now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord bless you as you go. Thank you for being here today.